Hello, I'm Mike Browning and welcome to Let God Speak. Today we're going to talk about spiritual light that shines in the darkness of error and superstition. So the question for every human being is, how do we find this light and how do we bring it into our lives? The Bible will answer these questions for us. Well, on our panel today, we have Cassie Solano. Thank you, Cassie, for coming again. And Rosemary Malkiewicz. Thank you for being with us here today. We'd like to invite everyone to join us in prayer before we open the scripture. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your amazing book and the truth that it contains. We pray for your spirit today to guide us as we share together from it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it's true that the world today is full of error and false teachings, just full of it. But Cassie, if it makes people happy to think the way they do, is that a problem?
I think it's definitely a problem. By definition, anything that's not true is a lie, and lies always matter. I don't think, you know, even the smallest lie has great consequences. So it's a mistake to think lies are benign.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you for that. Can't help but agree with that. So we need to explore this a little bit further, Rosemary, and talk about why lies always matter.
Well, one of the things is that people act in harmony with their beliefs. Mm-hmm. And with some people, their false beliefs lead them into a violent type of behaviour because they don't believe that there's retribution or anything and it's a matter of get what you want. Mm-hmm. Some people have false beliefs that lead them into doing a whole lot of unnecessary things in their lives to try to be saved or to try to get people to like them, different things like that. And so we're going to look at a Bible verse in John 8 and verse 32.
Yes.
And Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So it's the truth that gives us freedom. When we believe and know the truth, mm-hmm. we will act in a way that is different because lies keep us captive.
Yeah.
They drag us down, whereas the truth sets us free from them.
Yes.
It sets us free from everything that is superstitious, delusions, different things that people tell us that we know are harmful, but we do them because they tell us. The truth sets us free from all of that.
Perfect definition of futility. Spending your life doing something that doesn't need to be done.
Yes.
That's a tragic thought when you think about it. Mm. Okay, so we're looking for and talking about truth today. Cassie, where are we going to find this truth?
Mm.
Simple question.
I'd like to read John chapter 14, verse 6. This says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I think in this voice, in this verse, it's obvious Jesus is saying he is the truth and he's the embodiment of truth.
Okay.
And he is the source. So that's where it comes from.
So that's where we go, to Jesus.
Yeah.
Who is the truth, the embodiment of truth. Yeah, thanks for that, Cassie. Did you want to add something there?
It's like Jesus's life can be a demonstration to all the positive outcomes of truth. And we think liars have so many consequences. Jesus's life is the opposite.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's good. Thank you for that. So we need, Rosemary, a reliable source of the truth about Jesus and truth.
We do. If we turn to John 17:17, this is a wonderful verse that speaks volumes, even though it's short. It says, Jesus in prayer to his Father in heaven, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So all truth comes from the Bible because it is from God who knows all truth.
Okay.
And so through the Bible, he teaches us what truth is, so we don't have to be confused.
Okay. It's interesting, by the way, that Jesus is referring to the Bible as the word of
yes.
God in this case.
Yes. the word of God. And one of the things, or some of the things that the Bible teaches us about, is the origins of life and what we're doing on this planet. Salvation that comes through Jesus. And the Bible teaches us about God himself. We wouldn't know about God, the true God, if it wasn't for the Bible.
This is true.
But he also teaches us about the greatest problem of humanity, which is sin and death. And then it goes on to tell us what happens after we die. So there's so much truth in the Bible that we need to know, and God wants us to know.
He does. Okay, thank you for that. Now, on the other side, Cassie, errors and lies, where do they originate?
Well, this is interesting. I'd like to read John 8, verse 44. It says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it."
Wow, that's a strong word, isn't it?
It is very strong wording. Yes, it called Satan is also called Lucifer, is the father of lies. So you think about that. His goal is to convince the world of his lies and then lead people away from God, which is the opposite, where it's truth, and make them content with fables and false teachings.
Okay, thank you for that. It's interesting that the Bible writers, especially the Apostle Paul, were very concerned that false teachings would enter the Christian church. And in Acts chapter 20, I'd like to read a couple of verses there that are very, well, they're very troubling in many respects, but they're very important to get. Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote in his day. "For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And then he says, and this is alarming, "Also from your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." So Paul is highlighting for us, Rosemary, where the worst errors would come from that would attack the Christian faith.
That's right. He says that some will come in among the Christians to bring in heresy. But there are people who are within the Christian church who will come up with heretical ideas, things that are not the truth of the Bible. And most people in the church are not prepared for that. They don't expect that to happen. And they can
not,
be deluded. You have to know the Bible.
That's our safety, isn't it? That's where we get the truth that we need to withstand that. I'm going to read another scripture now from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 7 down to 9 there, where Paul continues to talk on this particular theme. And he said this in verse 7, "The mystery of iniquity does already work." He said, we can already see it even now, he's saying. "Only he who now lets it will let until he be taken out of the way." God is holding it back. But then he says, verse 8, "That wicked will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." In other words, it will continue, this deception, until the coming of Jesus, at the end of history as we know it. "Even him," verse 9 says, "whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." Now, there's a lot of things there. What is Paul saying? What's the main points here?
Well, the main point is Paul is giving a warning. This warning is for a specific apostasy apart from the truth that was very interestingly in the future to his time, even though it had started.
Okay, thanks for that. What sort of people, Rosemary, are going to accept these errors? Because clearly they wouldn't be a danger if there wasn't a possibility that some would accept
them. That's right. Very true. So if we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this, leading on from what you were reading before, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So those who do not receive the love of God, the love of the truth of God, are the ones who are setting themselves up for deception."
Okay, if
we believe, we have to believe in Jesus in our hearts, not just as a preference for our lives, but as a deep conviction.
Okay, and because he is the truth.
Yes, and we have to be in love with Jesus.
Okay. That's something that grows as we come close to him.
Yes.
Isn't it?
We grow more and more in love with him.
I think falling in love with the truth. Now, the truth is very practical about all the areas of life that you mentioned a moment ago, Rosemary. So if you love those things, they're going to be precious enough to you to protect them, aren't they? Now, that's good. Thanks for that. Okay, let's talk about some of the errors that did come into the Christian church after the time of the Apostle Paul. So specifically, Cassie, what errors came into the church then?
Oh, well, some obvious ones were the worship of idols, which is against the second commandment.
Mm. Mm.
The day of the sun was also adopted as a holy day in the 4th century.
Yeah.
There's immortality of the soul is another one.
Yes,
and these are just a few of them, but I think they illustrate these are huge issues.
They are huge issues. I mean, the first one you mentioned, worshipping idols. Think about that.
Mm.
You know, all through the Old Testament, Israel was in trouble because they kept on falling into the trap of worshipping idols.
I was actually doing a chart to show all the things that had come into the church through the early days, which were not from the Bible. And I was surprised at how long I was making the
list.
It's
a long list. Mm. Tragically, it's a long list. Mm. Now, these ideas that we're talking about have pagan origins. That is, they're not biblically based at all. So why would the Christian church fall for these things and adopt them, Rosemary?
Because during the 4th century, they wanted to try and get harmony into the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So they incorporated pagan things into Christianity to include the pagans, to get them to stop warring with the Christians,
okay.
to have harmony in the kingdom.
Okay.
And when they brought these pagan things in, it made it easier for the pagans to accept Christianity.
They felt right at home, didn't they?
Yeah, just rename the idols after people in the Christian, you know, in the Bible,
yes.
And then that would make it easier for the pagans to accept them. And
a lot
of their practices came in at that time. But if we look at John chapter 8, verse 36, it says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." See, Satan still had the pagans captive, but also the Christians who accepted these changes became his captives as well. But this verse tells us that it's Jesus, the Son, who will make us free. And then we are totally free when we are in Jesus. So Jesus, the Son, sets us free.
Okay, that's fine.
Jesus is the truth.
Yep.
He says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And therefore, the truth sets us free from superstition and error.
Okay.
From being slaves to sin.
It does, and it does set you free.
Because Jesus is the truth.
It explains the truth about life and all the things that bother people that they can't understand. All right, Jesus himself was very concerned about his followers and their faith in the future, and he prayed. In the whole of John chapter 17 is his prayer, most of it is his prayer to his Father on our behalf, the behalf of people who would believe in him. We won't read the whole chapter, obviously. I'm going to read from verse 15 down to 17. And this is what Jesus actually said in his prayer. "I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world," Jesus said. And then he said these very important words, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." And you quoted that verse a while back, Rosemary.
Yes.
So can you summarise the main points of his prayer here for us, Cassie, just a little?
Yeah, all right. Well, Jesus knew well of the deceptions his followers were going to need to resist.
Mm-hmm.
So he prays for God to keep them, what you've read, that is, to protect and guide them. The chief help in this work was to be the Word, which we've touched upon, which is, of course, the Bible. That's in verse 17.
Yeah.
The Bible is the identifier of error and lies. It is the source of truth.
Okay, so that's where we go for it, there's no doubt about it. Now, if the devil knows, as he obviously does, that the Bible is our protection, Rosemary, it's pretty easy to see where his attacks will come from and where they will focus on, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. He will attack the Word of God to try to keep it from the people or to stop them from believing it. In the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, it was dark because of religious spiritual darkness. The Bible was chained in the churches, and they would not use the vernacular of the people. Mm. It was written in Latin. So the people could not understand it, and a lot of the priests did not either. But in Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, the Bible says, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." Now, these two witnesses are the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. Yeah. And clothed in sackcloth means they were in mourning for this long time period of 1,260 prophetic days.
Or years in this case.
Well, prophetic days means years, yes. And so during this time, the Bible was not seen by the people. They weren't allowed to know what it said, only what they were taught. But today the devil is still attacking the Bible. He can attack it through people believing that it's just a lot of fairy tales.
Because the Bible is everywhere now.
Yes. Anybody can own a Bible, basically.
Okay.
And most homes have got more than one.
That's true.
But he wraps it up in "you can't understand it," or superstition, or that it's been handwritten over the years and so full of errors.
The devil wants people to think it's unreliable.
Totally.
How would he do this, Cassie?
Well, it's what you're touching upon. He's undermining the authority and saying, "Oh, well, you know, people wrote it. It's all made up," which is a great tragedy when Jesus made it clear how the Bible was actually written. This is Mark 12:36. He quotes the scripture. He says, "For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.'" And that's the quote. Mm. So it's obvious there that it's written in spirit.
Yes, Jesus actually says that, doesn't he? Makes it very plain. So these are just not men with their own ideas here at all, but men moved on by the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, which touches on the same subject there, Cassie. It says, "The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit." So the Bible writers are clear throughout that that's the moving of God's Spirit that brought about what we have here, the truth in the Scripture. So it's very powerful stuff. How important is the fact that, we need to consider this, Rosemary, how important is the fact that the Holy Spirit moved on these people as they wrote? How important is that?
The Bible is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, moved on people to write what God wanted us to know. And so the Bible is a unique book. It's not just another book. It is the Holy Bible. Mm. Yep. And we usually miss out the Holy these days. Mm. And God himself speaks to us through it. If we look at 1 Peter 1:11, it says, "Of the men of the Old Testament, the prophets, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow." The people who wrote the Bible in the Old Testament times wished to see the day of the fulfillment of their words in the death of the Messiah that they were waiting for, because he was going to save them as well as us.
That's true.
So they were moved by the Holy Spirit to be able to write these things. It is God's book.
Okay, thank you. So the devil is out to get people to distrust the Bible. What's his favourite tactic today to do that, Cassie?
Yeah, well, the devil loves to convince people that they can trust their own ability to reason out truth, even though this is a grave mistake. I mean, people easily believe rumours and that sort of thing, and they'll become adamant, "Oh, well, that's the truth."
It's true.
Yeah, and the Bible reiterates this point. I'd like to read Proverbs 16:25. It says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Mm. Yeah, and those are fairly strong words
as well.
Yeah, truth, we can't mistake it as a matter of human opinion. It's just a matter of divine revelation.
Okay. That's right. So are we really saying here, Rosemary, that we will never arrive at spiritual truth on our own? Is that what we're saying?
That is what we're saying. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him," that's Christ, "the iniquity of us all." This is a description of how we think when we think on our own terms. The Bible is full of places where it says they did what was right in their own sight and they did terribly. Horrible things to each other.
Okay, so it didn't work very well at all.
No.
Cassie, what do you think of Eve's reasoning in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6? A well-known verse for a lot of people who read the scripture, but what was she thinking when she took this position? It's so interesting seeing actually her thinking process is outlined for us.
It is, and it's clear from her reasoning. She'd thought it through independently of God, and she has this logical process that I'm sure she was very confident in. You know, it's saying, oh, well, it's pleasant to the eyes, it's desirable, but she was totally unaware of the grave consequences that was going to have.
Yeah.
So, and these are the types of conclusions that human reasoning will arrive at every time if unaided.
Yeah.
So we have to think, oh, we're not safe for a moment if we're not leaning on prayer and the Bible, because our own perspectives on things aren't useful.
That's so true. When it comes to spiritual things, we just have not got the force. In fact, I know someone very well who, talking about what happens after death, said to me, I think that when whatever you think is going to happen is what's going to happen. And you can appreciate.
Crazy.
It is. It's absolutely crazy to base your eternal future on what might be happening here between my ears. No, thank you. Okay, moving on. So are we saying here, Rosemary, that we don't have to think for ourselves? Is that what we're saying? That you just have blind faith? Is that what we're talking about?
No, not at all. When we look at the Bible, it tells us the truth we have to know. I mean, when you go into a church, you don't leave your brain in the foyer.
Right.
You have to think and you have to learn. And so God says to us in Isaiah 1 verse 18, and I love this verse.
Yeah.
He says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God wants us to reason together. He wants to sit down with us as such.
He's inviting us to do that, isn't he? Yeah.
He is. He wants to discuss his word with us. He wants us to intelligently understand it, and we will gain wisdom and intellect we never knew we had.
Okay, thank you for that. It's a powerful thing, truth, isn't it?
Mm.
Very powerful indeed. I want to read a scripture for you now from the Apostle Paul again. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4. This is what it says. If our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those that are lost, in whom the god of this world, referring to Lucifer, the devil, has blinded the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. So it says here, minds will be blinded. Question is, how are their minds blinded?
Well, it's Satan that's working to blind them. We can think of it, oh, he's darkening the mind, which is, of course, keeping them away from the light. These are things that are opposed to each other, like truth and lies.
Yes.
Jesus is the light. That's when we're stumbling through the darkness, he'll provide a light for us that we need, or otherwise we'll just stumble and we'll fall down.
Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Okay, now I like that picture of stumbling through the darkness. But when the light is shining, you can see where you're going. No, it's good. Thank you for that. Indeed. So we've talked about a number of things the devil does to try and keep people away from the scripture, basically, from the Bible. Is that all he does, what we've mentioned so far?
No. Satan is very good at attacking us in every way possible. Jesus warned in Luke 21:34 about surfeiting and the cares of this life. Let me read that verse right now. Luke 21:34. Jesus said, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. So Satan is trying to keep us focused on other things, keep us distracted, so that we don't even notice that we're not following on from God. The problems of life, the things we get involved in, we focus on sports or partying and and these
just
different
plain
things.
Hard work, cares of this life.
Yes, he makes sure we've got no time, energy, or desire for the things of God.
Okay.
That's what he's trying to do.
All right, thank you for that. So it's quite clear that he's putting snares in front of people, even good things, to focus them on anything and anywhere but Jesus himself.
That's right.
And his truth. So thank you for that. Finally, Cassie, I want us to think about this question. If Jesus and truth are available to everyone, and it's clear that it is, that's the case, why do so few people take it up?
It's quite a loaded question, so I'd like to read some scripture for that. I'll read John 12, 35 and 36. These are Jesus' words.
Yeah.
It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light.'" I think, this is, you can think of it also as a warning. Mm. There's no excuse for ignoring Jesus and truth when the light is in front of us. But the problem is that people, they're so comfortable in the darkness. They'll choose not to believe. They don't want to know because they're distracted by things of the life. And so we've got to make sure that light doesn't slip away from us.
Okay. And it could he be saying to us too, look, you'll have an opportunity, right? Don't mess it up.
Yes.
When the opportunity comes and the offer is made and decision times come, and which it does to every person's life, the decision will come. Decision time to miss that.
Cassie said an important thing. They don't want to know.
I think that often is the truth. In fact, Jesus said that in John chapter 1, verse 5. It says, the light, talking of Jesus, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
They didn't want to know.
Didn't want to know, which is very sad, isn't it?
Yeah,
very sad indeed. Well, I thank God that he's given us the opportunity of knowing it. We've shared it today, and all those folks out there, folks, take it seriously. Because sadly, it is true that the majority of people would rather cling to their fables and their narratives. But the good news is, in Jesus' own words in John chapter 1, verse 12, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." Good news. Well, we're glad you joined us today on Let God Speak. This program can be viewed again, along with teacher's notes. You'll find these on our website, 3abnaustralia.org.au. You can email us also if you would prefer, and we'd invite you to join us again. God bless.
You have been listening to Let God Speak, a production of 3ABN Australia Television. To catch up on past programs, please visit 3abnaustralia.org.au. Call us in Australia on 02-4973-3456 or email radio@3abnaustralia.org.au. We'd love to hear from you.